Well, hello and good morning, everyone. Good morning to everyone in Charlotte and Hickory also. It's a lovely group here. I told Mr. Preston that if he lowered the entry fee, there would be a lot more people here than there are. But he thought $35 was a fair price to get in, and so be it. You know, when I got ready to prepare this message, I was trying to think about what I would speak on, but there's so many things one can speak about prior to the days of unleavened bread that it's hard to pick a particular subject, because just in just a few short days, next Thursday, the holy days begin in this month of Abib. And by the way, I do want to say hello to everyone and happy Abib. It started already. But I ended up deciding to talk about a particular subject, and in preparing to give that message, I'd like you to all to turn over to Exodus 12 in just a way of a quick review. I would suggest anyone who hasn't read this chapter yet in Deuteronomy 16 that they do so in the coming week. But Exodus 12, starting verse 14, we read, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast." So we see it's a memorial. It's a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Every generation, you shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever. Not a week, not a thousand years, not until it changes, but forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, and only one may be done, that only one may be done of you. In other words, you're not to do any work. It's their holy days, but you can prepare food and you can eat a sandwich. And, you know, I wouldn't make a 12-hour turkey roast dinner on a holy day, but you can prepare your particular meals. And he says, on the first day, oh, we read that, verse 17, "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt." I'll read that again. "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt." This is before it happened. "Therefore you shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening." If you turn to Deuteronomy 16, very quickly. So there we see a basic layout of the holy day that's coming up and what we're commanded to do and how we're to observe it. In verse 1 of Deuteronomy 16, we see, "Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night." That's interesting that it says observe the month of Abib also. I think it's pointing out here that this month is a big deal. You know, this is the month that everything changed for Israel and for us. They got a new calendar. They got a new week. New laws, new statutes. Laws were all given to them at Mount Sinai. It's very, very important to us. And of course, we could turn over to Leviticus 23, which I'm not going to, and read about all the holy days and how they're important and they're God's holy days. But the question I want to ask is, what's it all about? I mean, what's it all about? The Israelites must have asked, what's it all about? Exodus 12, 17 tells us again, "So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies or your clans or your people out of the land of Egypt." Now that must have been pretty strange for the Israelites. I mean, all these rituals, these commands that were out of the blue, they were told to do. Kill this lamb, set it aside, kill it, eat it. Eat it dressed up, be ready to go. I'm going to take you out this day. Why do all this stuff? He already promised they're going to take him out this day. Shouldn't we be doing some other things? I mean, at least pack. When we used to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, it'd take us a week or two to pack. They're going to go out that day. They're getting these instructions. And they're getting all these other things to distract them, they may think, that take a lot of time. And we're going to be leaving after all these plagues, tonight, tomorrow, or a few days. Shouldn't we be packing? Maybe go grocery shopping. Change the oil in the camel. Whatever you need to do. You see, the Israelites didn't know. They didn't have a clue. They didn't understand what was going on. They did not understand what God was setting in motion, and he was setting something profound in motion. They didn't understand what the Passover and days of unleavened bread characterized and meant not only for them, but for the billions of people that would come later. For us, for the Ayatollah, for Mozart, Beethoven, George Washington, for all the people. What it characterized was salvation, freedom, joy, abundance, and purity from what sin brought into the world. Paul brought this to light centuries later in his letter to the Corinthians. We all know this passage, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. After Paul talked to the Corinthians in his letter about what was going on in their congregation and the sin that they were allowing, he said in verse 6, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened." Be what you are, is what he's saying here. Be what you are. I mean, I don't know if you caught that. He says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Since you are truly leavened. He's talking to the Corinthians, to that church. He says, you are truly leavened. Be what you are. He's saying you must live a life free of leavening. And why? Because you are unleavened. All of us here are unleavened. Now, how can that be? He goes on to say, for indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. You see the meaning of the Israelites didn't understand what they were doing or why they were killing that lamb. They know it protected them from the death that was going to come to the firstborn. But Paul's bringing out that that was just a type. Christ is our Passover, was the Passover, and he was sacrificed for us. This is the whole of the gospel. This is what the gospel's about. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. For without that, there is no gospel. There is no good news. Just as Israel obeyed God's command regarding the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, the slain lamb, the blood, feeding on that lamb, all of it, and purging of leavening and eating the unleavened bread, all of that, we too, those of us who proclaim, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my brother. He's my Savior. Jesus is my God, as Thomas said. We too receive the blessing and promises offered to Israel of freedom, salvation, joy, abundance, liberation, and purity from what leavened represented, which was sin and destruction and slavery and death. As Paul went on to say to our brothers in Corinth in verse 8, he says again, therefore, because Jesus, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us, keep the feast. Keep the feast. But not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Israelites kept God's command, didn't they? And after they had killed the Passover, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, just as they were commanded. If you read Exodus 12, verses 27 and 28, you see that they did it. And they said, after they were told this, they bowed their head and they worshiped. They thanked God for what was given to them. And it says, and they went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. It's a good thing to do. It's a pivotal scripture. They went and did what they were told, and they worshiped God. The Israelites obeyed God and did what they were commanded. And they were what? They were delivered from slavery, from captivity, from the rulers and powers that did not know or care to know about their God, the Almighty God that we worship. And so must we. It's a choice. Just like the people of Israel had to make. Will I slay that lamb? Will I do this? Will I put leaven out of my house? Will I obey God? They had to make that choice, and they did. I can't tell you whether every Israelite there put blood on their door or not and did what they were told, or whether some of the Egyptians and other people did that because they knew and believed what was coming. But they did it, and they were delivered as unleavened, freed, liberated, firstborn children of the Almighty, because God said, Israel is my firstborn. As such, we are transformed, and not only to keep the feast for 7 days, but all of our lives and all of our days. It's different for us. How can we not, when, as Paul already explained to us, we are unleavened? How can we not keep it 24/7, 365 days? We are unleavened. And how can that be again? The Passover lamb was killed and died. And his name was not Lamb Chops or Fluffy. His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of Glory. We, unlike the Israelites, are covered by his blood. And we died with him to sin through our baptism and accepting of his saving grace and his shed blood and his resurrection. We came up out of that water just as the Israelites left their houses unleavened. We came up unleavened. And as he rose from death, undefiled, uncorrupted, unleavened, because his body did not see corruption. And that's what leavening does. It corrupts and it changes and transforms. So did we when we came up out of our baptismal water, didn't we? Each of us resurrected to a new life. That's our calling. It's our calling to have new hearts and new lives. For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We're called to be God's people, specialites to the world and the nations around us, just as Israel was. He delivered us from nothingness, worthlessness, certain death to a new life and the promise of entering the promised land. Not Canaan. We don't look to that land, but a new promised land, heavenly Jerusalem. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Another way of saying it is, the whole life of a Christian, our lives, must be a feast of unleavened bread. Not just the coming 7 days. Our conversations, the way we live, the way we treat each other, the way we think, our service to each other, to the world, and to God, all of it must be holy and unleavened. Holy and unleavened. For 7 days shall no leaven be eaten or found among your people, Israel was told. 7 days. Purge out the old leaven and keep the feast of unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, we are told. In Exodus 12, 25 through 27, you don't have to turn there. Moses was inspired to tell the people by God, it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service, and it shall be when your children say to you, and when the people of the world say to you, and your relatives say to you, what are you doing? What do you mean by this service? Does it make any sense? It's the Israel's. Light said, that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over our houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. Yes, our Passover, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Passover of God, washed away our sins and the stink that was over us through his precious holy blood. He and he alone delivered us from ourselves and the bondage of sin and death, where we can shout, I am free, right? I am free at last. Thank God I am free. Just as he promised, for indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us.